My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. Our guest is a returning guest today, Scott Ashley, who is editor of the Beyond Today magazine. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Good to be here, Vic.
Nice to have you. Today, we're going to talk about the coronavirus. Today is March 3rd, and this is a day that, you know, to give you context, is that the coronavirus has only really come to light in the last few months, and we're not sure what the direction is of the finality of this disease. Will it be something of apocalyptic proportion, as a bubonic plague was that wiped out a big percentage of Europe's population, or the Spanish flu, or some of these other disasters that have taken place in times? Let's talk about the coronavirus.
Sure. Pleasant subject. Right? No, it's very, very serious subject.
Also, we do have people from the church that live in China and also in Hong Kong, which is adjacent. I mean, it's right next to China.
Yes.
And yesterday I talked to one of our leaders in China, one of our ladies that really does a lot of work for our church. And she was coming to the General Conference of Elders, which is held here in May, a big event. But with all the quarantines and all the warnings that they have had, we decided not to have her come. And she said herself that she has been warned or understands that when she leaves China, she may be quarantined for 2 weeks after arriving in the U.S. And actually, she was told by the Chinese that when she returns, that she may also be put into quarantine before she's put into the general population.
Yes.
She's also in touch with one of our other members who lives in Harbin, China. She's a school teacher. She's a member of the United Church of God who we spent time with in Hong Kong just a few months ago, actually the first part of January. And she's a school teacher, and she's been basically sequestered or quarantined to her home. And they all wear masks, and they only get out if they can for a short time to try to get some food, whatever. But it's unknown, even to these people, what the future will be. So it is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are also, in the United States, the news seems to be increasing about the fear of this, and we don't want to have on this program be just something that fuels more of that fear. But the fact is that major corporations like Amazon and Microsoft have had conventions that they have canceled, and events are being canceled. As I was watching Sky News from the United Kingdom yesterday, they talked about British Airways canceling, as they put it, hundreds of flights to the United States and to other places in the world. So I'd like to have you comment about what your understanding is of this. And really, we want to end the program about giving our listeners advice as how to cope with this, because church has a role in explaining things and also giving hope when crises like these arise.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges with this in particular is how much lack of solid information, or how little solid information there is out there at this point. And I've been reading a dozen or more articles a day on this from all over the world. I read a lot of media from other places in the world, not just our U.S. media. But it's just hard to get hard information out of this. The origins of this were clearly in China. Very little information came out of China that was reliable, and it's still highly questionable. The government controls all media there, so it's hard to trust the information. It's generally acknowledged they have probably, well, we know they weigh underestimated the severity of the outbreak, the number of people infected. So it's hard to pin down key factors like what is the percentage of people that this will prove fatal for. Current thinking is somewhere between 1% and 2%. But then with China, we don't know how many people were infected from a couple of reasons. One is many people have apparently been infected with it, but their symptoms were so mild they never even knew they had it, just thought it was a cold or something like that. So we don't really know hard numbers of how many people got it, and therefore what the fatality rate is. We also don't know how many, if someone is infected with it, what the average number of people they transmit it to. I've most accurate number I've heard seems to be about four, possibly as low as two, as high as four people who are infected. That's a spread rate. So it's just a lot of missing information. We actually do not know 100% sure where it came from. There, it is commonly understood it came from animals. Initially, it came out that it came from snakes. Then consensus seems to be now that it's come from bats, but I haven't heard a definitive answer on that. There are some rumors, some news sources have cited that it may have been something that got loose from a biological weapons laboratory. There is one about a half a mile from this, from ground zero of this, of the site in Wuhan, China, this food market there where they sell all kinds of animals, bats, snakes, scorpions, spiders, cats, dogs, crocodiles.
Bon appetit.
Just every kind of, and all of these creatures are in this open air market. They butcher animals on the spot, chickens, turkeys, cats, dogs again. They kill the animals, butcher them on the spot, hand them to a customer. So you have live animals there. And, to be blunt, when an animal is killed, it loses bladder control. Mm-hmm. So you have the waste, the excrement flowing out, the blood. And you also have large numbers of people in this mixture, too. They're buying and selling. So it's just a perfect laboratory for new viruses to be created. And this one did originate in animals. And it's kind of a flu virus, essentially. A lot of characteristics in common with flu viruses. So it made the jump somewhere from animals to human beings and now is spreading person to person. So we're not, there's just a lot that we don't know exactly what we're dealing with. How it is spread. Is it skin to skin? Is it common thinking? Is it spread through air droplets from sneezing, coughing in the air, and that disperses water droplets for several feet around an individual. So just a lot of unanswered questions, and some of the sources of the information are hard to trust. The Chinese government obviously tried to cover this up until they didn't have any other alternatives, had to open up about it and be honest.
It's like Chernobyl when the Russians, they covered it up until they couldn't.
Yeah, and same things going on with China, because China knew what would happen. It would start tanking their economy. They would lose so many factory orders. They're the big factory for the world economy with so many goods that are manufactured there. So it was in their interest to cover it up. They don't want to panic their own citizens there. And bottom line is, they had to quarantine many cities of multiple millions of people, quarantine them, shut them down, shut off all air traffic, shut off train service, shut off automobile traffic. And just the logistics of that are horrendous. And then
also, that virus, it is a respiratory.
Yes.
And at the younger age, it's like the 1% or 2% or so. But as you get up to the older people over 70, 75 or so.
Yes.
Yesterday I saw a study that was over 20%.
Yes.
You know, it increases almost exponentially when you get to that age. People who are older are at higher risk.
True. And let's see, I believe as of this morning, there have been 6 deaths in the United States. Mm-hmm. Most of those came from one nursing home in Washington State. Elderly people in a fairly tight quarters, and most of what I've read is the fatalities are where there are underlying health issues, respiratory disease, emphysema, things like that, and the people's bodies are just not strong enough for most average middle-aged Americans. Fatality rate is very, very low in that. So like most epidemics, affects very young, very old. Young because they don't have the kind of immunity and strength and so on. And the elderly because there are underlying health issues. So for most people, it's probably not going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. I've read accounts of people with this infection, and they described it as kind of like a bad case of the flu, and you have it, you feel miserable for a couple of days, and then you're well. But some people are not affected hardly at all, and that too is makes it a challenge to find out how widespread it is, mm-hmm. Because many people just may mistake it for a cold or mild case of the flu, and they just don't know. So just mm-hmm. so many unanswered questions about this.
And also, I feel like in our modern times, you know, people look upon the 1346, whatever it was, for the Black Death. Well, yeah. They didn't have medicine. They didn't even understand sanitation. They didn't understand all these things. We're protected. You know, right. we have vaccines. And if we don't, it'll be a couple of weeks and the news will hear about some new vaccine.
Right.
We'll be tested at all. But
yeah.
We may find out differently that some of these strains may be so deadly that yeah. it'll catch us off guard. And there's a false sense of security, and that's one thing to
definitely
consider in our time. False sense of security that somehow the government or who else, you know, would help you through mm-hmm. this crisis.
Now we've kind of so removed God from the picture, we've lost mm-hmm. that perspective. And the reality is we now look to science and government for solutions to all of our problems. In this case, people expect a vaccine next week. And we're so used to science coming up with instant solutions. But the reality of the issue is a vaccine. I did hear a radio interview with an epidemiologist a couple of weeks ago now. He said, realistically, a vaccine summer, probably late summer at the earliest, because first they have to identify what exactly this virus is, what is effective against it. Right now they're trying a number of different treatments, medicines to attack different, how they think the virus operates and how it spread. Again, these are unanswered questions, but then if they when they find something that may be effective, then there have to be human trials that will last weeks, if not months, and then go into a mass scale production of it. And part of the interview that I heard was, if the largest three vaccine manufacturers in the United States threw all of their resources at that and started a high-speed manufacturing process for vaccines, the most they could produce in a several-month period, and again, we're looking forward to the summer before they could even start on this, the most they could produce is 100,000 vaccines. That's about a third of the U.S. population. That's not even counting.
100 million.
Million. Yeah, 100 yeah. million, sorry. But that's a drop in the bucket for the United States, much less the rest of the world, China, Nigeria, Africa, where it's starting to spread now, Asia. We have... But bottom line is we think we can solve everything on our own, and we have lost sight that God is ultimately in control. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is punishment from God or anything like mm-hmm. that. I don't think that's what this is. But Bible prophecy is very clear. There are coming times when there will be massive disease epidemics. One of the four horsemen of Revelation is the pale horse. The word pale there is chloros, from which we get chlorophyll. It's a sickly green horse, the color of death, to be blunt. And that horse rides, and literally billions of people die in the end times before mm-hmm. Christ returns. So
I believe that really these things, those four horsemen, you know, being mm-hmm. of deception, which is not godly,
sure.
you know, and other natural disasters, wars, that's not from
right.
God, that's
right.
man-made. And then this type of thing is really not something yeah. that God just says, hey, I'm going to punish these people with this. It is something of their own doing or mm-hmm. of Satan. You know,
right.
it's his world. And
right.
I do feel like, you know, as far as having some understanding about how to cope,
yeah.
I mean, every day I, you know, go through the prayer, the model prayer, mm-hmm. and the last two parts of it is, do not lead us into sore trial and deliver us from the evil one. And I feel like that
yes.
should be prayed by
sure.
everyone far more as survival for your family, for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and for anybody who wishes to go to that source mm-hmm. of help.
You know, Proverbs is full of advice to prepare, you know, exercise some wisdom, be prepared. It's the old Boy Scout motto. So we should take some reasonable precautions in terms of having some extra food, water, stored up. I mean, it's not just this, but tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, strikes, transit strikes, any natural disasters or man-made ones could disrupt our modern life. We tend to take a lot for granted, and we shouldn't necessarily. This is a good wake-up call for everyone.
The wake-up call. My parents, you know, who survived the German invasion of the Soviet Union, lived mm-hmm. in the Soviet Union for another year and a half before they were extradited or sent to work in Germany. Mm-hmm. And they said that they had no electricity, that everything was bombed out, but they had root cellars, they had a well, mm-hmm. they had the ability, and also neighbors helping one another. Right. Yes. Now, the food supply chain is like 20 days or so.
Yes.
You know, for like New York could only survive like less than a month.
Yes.
On the food that they have right now. What's going to happen after the month? The
yeah.
month after that. And it's just not coming as people starve to death.
Yes. Just a personal example. Mm-hmm. I've been talking with my wife nightly since I'm out here and mm-hmm. she's back there. And we've talked about this, you know, what kind of reasonable precautions. And the CDC is telling us, Centers for Disease Control, wash your hands regularly. Mm-hmm. That's the most common way to transmit not just this, but cold, flu, things. We touch things with our hand, doorknobs, countertops. We touch our mouths. We scratch our nose. Mm-hmm. And that's a common way for these viruses to be spread. But she had checked on Amazon to order some hand sanitizer to keep in her office. It's not available. Not available for another month. Amazon sold out of that and a lot of the handy wipes, mm-hmm. Clorox handy wipe type things that we've taken for granted. You can't buy them on Amazon. She went to a store near her on her way home from work. They were sold out. So there's already runs and hoarding of some of these products we take for granted.
And also, our prayer is that this thing will go away.
Yes.
But it may not go away.
Yes, and I personally think the media is overplaying it. I think face it, our media does have a political agenda. they want to, there's the old phrase going back decades: if it bleeds, it leads. if it's bloody, if it's gory, if it's violent, if it's threatening, that's what gets the eyeballs for viewership. So it's in the media's interest to exaggerate the dangers of things like that. So they'll get people coming back and they want to learn and find out what the latest is about this to sow fear that there's no question that's part of a media coverage for this. But that is not to say that this could not develop into something very bad.
One of the best places to go to is right to the Center of Disease Control, cdc.gov.
Yes. Right.
And surprisingly, not that many people go there.
Right. I should mention, too, getting back to the exaggeration factor of this, you know, the flu alone in the United States alone kills 50 to 65,000 people a year. I don't think worldwide we've even reached 3,000 deaths from this a year. That's about 5% of the number killed in the United States alone from this. So there's definitely a lot of sensationalism associated with this. I don't think it's broken 100,000 infections worldwide. Last I checked, it was about 60 or 70,000, which again is about the number of people, the number of deaths we have in the United States alone from this. So it does strike me as overblown. But again, we need to be mm-hmm. prudent. There's going to come a time when something like this will come along that we don't have a cure for. There will not be a way to cure it, that will have a much higher transmission rate and a much higher fatality rate.
This last issue, the latest issue of the Beyond Today magazine just came out, and
yes.
those of you listening to this probably have not received it yet, but you will be receiving it. Scott, could you comment about the two articles that are in this issue? There's one about plagues on the horizon.
Plagues on the horizon, sure. It was written in response to antibiotic resistant drugs, which is a growing problem. We're having more and more types of diseases where the standard antibiotics such as penicillin and others, just don't work anymore. These viruses and bacteria are mutating rapidly and developing resistance to the drugs. So the drugs kill off the susceptible ones, so it leaves behind bigger and badder and stronger mm-hmm. bacteria and viruses that
multiply.
That multiply, and we're not keeping up. We are falling behind in spite of the best of our scientific efforts. So that article was assigned before this coronavirus was
known
about.
Yeah, and that's why I feel it's remarkable that, you know, you had it assigned beforehand, and now yes. I feel as I read it, you know, it made me read every word of it.
true. And then, yeah, just as this issue was, as we were finalizing the content, we did a quick one-page update on the coronavirus, and it, again, this is just over a month ago, late January, but mm-hmm. but it is a bit out of date. But the basics of the article are valid mm-hmm. and sound.
There's some things that are very insidious about plagues and disease, like this. If you have a war, you know, you have guns, bombs, you know, destruction, mm-hmm. buildings falling over, people being killed. Mm-hmm. But disease, it creeps into the population, and, yes. and people have a hard time taking it seriously.
Yeah, when Jesus Christ returns, he has to start from scratch. The way I describe it, he has to start over on a totally new foundation, and everything gets overturned then. The economy, the educational systems, governing systems, everything's got to go and be rebuilt from scratch.
Well, Scott, it's been wonderful talking to you. I always enjoy talking to you. You always have a lot of good things to say, and we do appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time while you're here teaching at ABC to do another podcast.
Sure, very glad to.
So we're very thankful for your coming here and joining us Inside United. You can find us on the ucg.org website. On the main menu bar, click or tap podcast on the menu bar. Also, use your favorite Android or Apple podcasting app. I use Podcaster. Also, write to us at podcast@ucg.org. Tell us about this podcast, and also give us some ideas and suggestions for future podcasts. So thank you for joining us here today. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.